children and their children. May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations, and your family and your children and their children and their children. May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations, and your family and your children and their children and their children. May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations, and your family and your children and their children and their children. May his presence go before you and behind you and beside you. With you, he is with you in the morning, heavy.
silence. Go before, behind, beside, all around you, within you. He is here, he is here. In the morning, in the evening, in your coming, in your going. Your rejoice, he is for,
he is for.
May the favor, may the favor,
be upon you and a thousand generations, and your family, and your children, and their children, and their children. Be upon you and a thousand generations, and your family, and your children.
don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working. You never stop working. Say it. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop. Hey, you never stop working. You never stop. You never stop. Even when I don't see it, yeah.
To take just a moment and pray and ask God that He would give us a fresh revelation of who He is today. You know, He never changes, but the way that we understand God unfolds. When you make the decision to come in and worship God, you get a little bit more of the picture of who He is. What that enables you to do is have something else to look at other than your problems. And other than your weaknesses. So in just a moment, we're going to pray. And we're going to pray on every location from Roanoke to Toronto. What a contrast. Roanoke, Virginia, Toronto, Canada. Same God. There's no regional gods. There's no national gods. There's not many gods. There's one God. And today we set aside our preferences. We set aside all of the things that make us different, and we gather together under the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. How many came to worship Him and Him alone? Come on, if you came for His presence and nothing else, me too. So we call Him Waymaker, Miracle Worker, because we believe that right now in your life He is making a way. And if you want to come into agreement with this confession today, lift your hands in His presence. You are the great I am. You are the great physician. You are the friend that sticks closer than a brother. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Ascend Church. How are you guys doing this morning? Good.
Praise God. Yes, good morning, everybody. We're so glad you're here today. Just let them know in the lobby we're starting now. Come on in. We're going to start out giving God praise like we always do. Our first song is called In Jesus' Name. And it's a powerful song because it says God is fighting for us. God is on our side. How many of you believe the Lord is on your side and He's fighting for you today? Well, sing it with us. Declare it today. Let's give God praise. Amen.
Put your hands together.
Jesus, enemies defeated, and when we will shout it run for cover. But the miracle that I just can't get over, my name is registered in heaven. I believe in signs and wonders. I have resurrection power. Yes, I do. But the miracle that I just can't get over, my name is registered in heaven. Testimony from death to life, 'cause grace rewrote my story. I testify by Jesus Christ the righteous. I'm justified. This is my testimony. This is my testimony. Come together, sons and daughters, fought with blood and washed with water. Sing the graces of the Spirit and the Father. Our God will finish what He started. Yes, our God will finish what He started. This is my testimony from death to life, 'cause grace rewrote my story. I testify from Jesus Christ the righteous. I'm justified. This is my testimony. This is my testimony. If I'm not dead, then you're not done. Greater things are still to come. Oh, I believe. If I'm not dead, then you're not done. Greater things are still to come. Oh, I believe. If I'm not dead, then you're not done.
You're not done, you're not.
Greater things are still to come. Oh, I believe. If I'm not dead, then you're not done. Rewrote my story. I testify by Jesus Christ the righteous. I'm justified. This is my testimony. This is my testimony. Testimony from death to life, 'cause grace rewrote my story. I testify by Jesus Christ the righteous. I'm justified. This is my testimony. This is my testimony.
Jesus can change the way. moving in our midst. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, working in this place. I worship you. Darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are here, touching every heart. I worship you.
You are. Father, there are times, says the Lord, there are times that you look at the battle you are facing and you look at it as if it is something that has never been faced before. And you look at the problems that come your way and you feel overwhelmed, like you'll never overcome them. But have you not looked back in my words, says the Lord, to see the mighty miracles that I have done? And I have done these for your example. There's a reason that the children of Israel could look at me as their waymaker, because I parted the Red Sea for them. But when they stood in front of the Red Sea, there seemed like there was no way. And just like you look at your circumstance and you cannot see a way, does not mean there is not a way. And you just have to look back and see what I have done in the past, says the Lord, and you'll see what I'll do in the future. And you have to look back in your own life and you have to see what prayers I've answered and what miracles I've done and what situations I've turned around, so that you can have a picture of what I will do in your future and even today, says the Lord. So stop looking at your circumstances like they are going to overcome you, and step back, look back and see what I've done, and realize that you're going to overcome everything that is in front of you, says the Lord, because it is my nature. It is in my nature to overcome. And therefore, as my body, it is in your nature to overcome. So stop looking at yourself as victims and begin looking at yourself as overcomers, says the Lord. For whatever it is in front of you, you are going to overcome it. And you're going to look back on it, and that is going to be a testimony. And the next obstacle you come to, you are going to overcome it, says the Lord. And you're going to look back, and that is going to be a testimony. And if you always look at what you face, says the Lord, as a chance for a testimony, you will never let it get you down. You will never let it wear you down. You will never let it slow you down. You'll never let it stop you, but you will look at it as something that you are about to overcome, says the Lord. For I am the God who is the overcomer, and I am with you, and I am in you, and I am working through you, says the Lord. Someone give him thanks. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. We are more than an overcomer, right? More than a conqueror. Praise God. Well, welcome to Ascend Church. So glad you're here. Welcome to those watching online. I got out of breath. This is a chance in the service where we want to pray for any need you may have. We believe in the power of prayer. Amen. Let me tell you, it's not just something we say. You don't just write something on Facebook that goes, pray for me, pray for me. And the more people, the more likes you get, the more chance you have of God hearing you. No, there are principles to prayer. And you have to have faith when you pray. And I'll tell you something. We have faith that God is still the miracle worker, that God turns unlikely situations around, impossible situations around. Amen. He restores families where it looks like there's no hope. He heals bodies. You know, Louis was just telling us he went to the doctor this week, and the doctor looked at his x-ray and he said, I can't believe what's happening in your eyes. I can't believe what's happening in your eyes. Because in the natural, it should be complete degeneration, but it's improving, which defies all odds. That's what God does. And so right now we're going to pray. If you need prayer, we want to ask you to come down. Everybody that comes forward, our prayer team, to pray. They're full of faith. They believe in the laying on of hands. They believe in miracles. And we'll pray with you whatever the need is during our last song. Catch my breath. And we want to pray for those that are watching. Maybe you're at home today. Let's just stretch, church, let's stretch our hands out towards that. And let's just begin to pray. Father, we pray for every person watching today, whatever their circumstance, whatever the obstacle in front of them, whether it's healing that they need, whether they are bound by an addiction, whether they're brokenhearted, Father, whether they don't see a way out of their situation. We just pray for children that are gone astray. Father, we just release the anointing of God into their homes and into their lives. And we pray, Father, that you would begin to work a miracle right where they begin to see it, the change from today. Father, thank you for healing that flows into their bodies. Thank you for restoration in their families. Thank you for a phone call from a child that's been away. Father, thank you for testimonies today of your miracle-working power working in our lives. We thank you for it. And family, we're going to pray for our country. The Bible says that we should pray for all things. We should lift up those in authority. Says the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. He turns it whichever way he wants. Bible says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and heal their land. And the Bible says that when we pray for those in authority, it's that we may live peaceful lives. Amen. And so we want peace in this country. So Father, we just lift up the United States of America. We pray for those in authority, from the president to the judges, to the governors, to the mayors. Father, to every person that has any authority, we pray the will of God be done in their lives. We pray that you would surround every one of them with voices of wisdom, godly wisdom, Father God. We just speak to all chaos and violence, and we speak peace right now in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for resolutions. We take authority over you, devil, where you are just a spirit of strife. Yeah, the Bible says you've come to steal, to kill, and destroy. We take authority over you. You will not hinder this nation. You will not bring this nation down. You will not hurt the people in this nation. Father, the churches in this nation, we just speak the peace of God, the will of God over this land in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing one final song, and it's right now, it's our all-time favorite. And so read the words and begin to sing along. I know it's new for us today, but I think you'll get familiar with it very quickly. And as we sing this song, our prayer team are going to come and stand up here. And if you need prayer today, just don't hesitate during this song. Just step out and come forward and get prayed for. Amen.
I've tried so hard to see it. Took me so long to believe it. You choose someone like me to carry your victory. Perfection could never earn it. You give what you don't deserve it. Take the broken things and raise them to glory. You are my champion. Giants, they fall when you stand undefeated. Every battle you've won, I am who you say I am. You crown me with confidence. I am seated in the heavenly place, undefeated with the one who has conquered it all. Now I can finally see it. You're teaching me how to receive it. So let all striving cease. This is my victory hand. You are my champion. Giant.
When I lift my voice.
Yes. Come on. Let's sing it out together, church. Lift your voice. Sing it with us. Come on, Nate. Come on, let's sing it together. When I lift my voice.
When I lift my voice and shout, every wall comes crashing down. I have the authority.
You're my champion.
You are my champion.
You are my champion.
You are my champion. Giants, they fall when you stand undefeated.
Every battle you won.
Every battle you won, man. I am who you say. By the power of your name.
Lord, you are our champion today. Oh, we thank you that we are seated with you in the heavenly places, that you have given us authority. Lord, thank you. You said whatever we bind on earth, it will be bound in heaven. You said that we would resist the devil and he would flee from us. Lord, we thank you that no weapon formed against us can ever prosper. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us authority. We thank you, Lord, that you said that we will tread upon serpents, scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt us. Say that. Say it with me. Say, thank you, Lord, that I can trample upon all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt me. No weapon formed against me can ever prosper. For God is with me, He is in me, and He is for me. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. I am more than a conqueror through Christ who strengthens me. And Lord, I give you praise today. Come on, lift your hands. And Lord, I worship you. I worship you, Lord. We magnify you. We give you all the glory. We give you all the honor today. Come on, give Him praise today. Come on, put your hands together. Give a shout. A shout out to the Lord. A shout of victory. Shout of victory.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Talk about changing the atmosphere when you sing, right? Praise God. Well, welcome to Ascend Church. Won't you just turn and wave to someone, tell them how good they look today, and you may be seated. Welcome. Thank you, worship team. Excellent job. Thank you so much. To church this morning. So glad that you joined us to worship. Welcome to those that are watching online on Facebook Live, on our mobile app, on YouTube, in the future, wherever you're watching, we welcome you. You're part of this service. We ask you to just get comfortable, remove all distractions, and receive from God today. But we're so glad to see you in church today. We want to welcome anyone who's visiting for the first time today. We love having visitors in our church, and we've had numerous visitors over this period of time. So if you're here for the first time, would you mind just waving your hand? We could give something to you. God bless you. Welcome. Come on, make it louder. Welcome. We're glad that you're here. Our ushers are going to just hand a gift pack to you, a visitor pack. There's a couple of things in there. One is a white card that says guest. If you just take a moment and fill it out. At the end of the service, we pass an offering bucket by. Just drop it in. Gives the pastor an opportunity just to give you a call, find out how you enjoyed the service, if we could pray for you in any way. So thank you for being with us today. And I want to remind you of the four purposes of our church. The first one is that you would know God, because it's all about a relationship with Him, right? You know, the more you know somebody, the more you know the way they think. The more you recognize their voice from a distance, right? All of those things come from knowing somebody. You say, well, I've known the Lord for 20 years. Yeah, but you can still keep getting to know Him better, right? You begin to know how He thinks and what His motives are, and that's how we grow from glory to glory. And then secondly, our second purpose is that you would find freedom in every area of your life, because He doesn't just bring us into the kingdom and then leave us. And, you know, until one day in the sweet by and by we go to heaven, but God's constantly working on us and bringing us to a higher place and living in complete freedom in Him in every area. And then thirdly, He wants us to discover our purpose. As the body of Christ, we all have a purpose, right? It says, don't let the ear say to the eye, I don't need you. Don't say the hand say to the foot, you're not important. Every one of us is important, and it's important that we discover our purpose. That's what we're working towards. And then lastly, we want
to help you to make a difference with your life. Amen. Difference in this world, in our community, in our families, and also in the nations of the world and for the kingdom of God. Amen. Thank you, Pastor. We're ready. I can't wait for this message. We were singing the song all week, and he just was stirred by the Spirit. This is a good.
Well, good morning, everybody. It's good to see you today. Thank you. I'm glad you're in church today. Aren't you glad to be here this morning in the house of God? What a great time, man. What a time of worship. Worship team did a great job today. Won't you give them a big round of applause? They did a great job today. We really appreciate them. They come and rehearse on Thursday. They were here and they got here this morning at 8 o'clock, right? 8 o'clock. And so we want to welcome Callie over there on the keyboard. We want to welcome him to our team today. Callie is probably one of the best keyboard players you ever hear in your life. And it's not just me saying that. Everyone I've ever spoken to that's played with him says he is just phenomenal. So we welcome you, Callie. Callie, he's played at our church before, but the Lord's brought him back. And so we're so glad that you are here. And we're glad you're here today. You know, there are people all over the world that would love to be sitting in church today. You know that? There are people all over the world would love to be in church today, but they can because churches are closed all over. But we open. You here, and there's people out there would love to be here. They just need you to tell them about it. Invite them. Hey, come with us this Sunday, because we're going to have such an awesome time this morning. The word that the Lord has given me is just life changing. If you just want to let you know that we do have Spanish translation available. And all you need is a smartphone and a headset. And we have these. If you need Spanish translation, just ask the ushers. They'll give you one of these cards that tell you how to access our Spanish translation. And there are some extra headsets if you need it. So just ask the usher, go into the lobby there and grab one of these cards. Is anyone here listening doing Spanish translation today? Anyone here requiring Spanish translation today? No one today. Also, people can watch online. They can watch the live stream and listen to the Spanish translation at the same time, because we want to reach everybody. How many of you know there's a lot of people around us that don't speak Spanish that we want to reach with the gospel? Amen? Amen, everybody. Thanks for your enthusiasm. In fact, we have a church. We have a church that meets upstairs, a Spanish church. They meet on Sunday night. Sunday afternoon, excuse me, Sunday afternoon at 3 and then Thursday, so we thank God for that. But we also have Jennifer. Do you mind if I mention today? Jennifer and Joey. Jennifer and her partner Amy, they're going to be starting a, I don't want to say the wrong word, what is it called? A hybrid homeschool group. Right here, they're going to be leasing our children's area Monday to Friday, and they have already 100 people that want to come and attend here. And it's going to be Monday to Friday from 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. and they're going to be leasing that space from us. And plus, we had lunch yesterday, or dinner, and here they are, been church 2 weeks in a row. So we welcome you. We're glad you're here. If you are looking for schooling for your children, talk to Jennifer. There's a lot of people interested. You better get in there fast. So we welcome you here today. I want to welcome all of our... How many folks here for the first time? Is the first time you've been to Ascend Church? Would you mind holding your hand up one more time? We're glad you're here. Welcome. We're glad you're here. I hope I get a chance to meet you. My wife and I will be in the lobby after the service. We're usually the last people here, and we'd love to meet you. So tell your neighbor, I'm glad you're here today. Also, don't forget that we had prayer. I want to thank everybody that came to pray before the service today. We had a great time of prayer from 9:15 to 9:45. Upstairs there, we're having prayer meeting. How many of you believe that it's important for the Church of Jesus to be praying right now? More than any other time, surely we got to be praying. Amen. And so I want to encourage you. I don't want to get down on you, but listen. Don't complain about what's going on if you're not praying. You can either pray or you can complain. The reason why I don't complain about the president is because I'm praying for him. And I prayed for President Obama for 8 years. The reason I never criticized him, because you cannot criticize someone that you're praying for. I'm praying for him. We need to be praying, church. Amen. So I want to encourage you, come join us. Even if you don't get here at 9:15, you can come join in the prayer meeting at any time. And it goes from 9:15 to 9:45. We had a great time today. And I think that made a difference in the service today. I felt a difference here this morning. Are you ready for God's word today? Say, I am ready. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us authority. I pray today, Lord, that you will give revelation and understanding to every person here this morning. I pray you will anoint your word. And I thank you, Father, for changing lives. And I give you all the praise for everything that is said and done in Jesus' mighty name. If you agree, say amen. Amen. Thank you. I want to speak this morning about the champion's authority. And I was inspired by the song that we sang, The Champion. It's my new favorite song right now. When I get a favorite song, I listen to it over and 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 over again. And I wear it out, then I move on to my next favorite song. Not necessarily. But I want to speak about the champion's authority. The Bible says in Acts 5, verse 31, he's the one that God has exalted and seated at his right hand as our Savior and champion. He's the provider of grace as the Redeemer of Israel. The Bible says that Jesus is the one that has been seated. He has been exalted. He is seated at the right hand of the Father as our Savior and as our champion. Jesus is our champion. And I looked up what the word champion means. And it says that a champion is a winner of first place in a competition, or one that shows marked superiority, or a militant defender, or I love the last, listen to this, one that does battle for another's rights and honor. The reason that Jesus is our champion is because he came to the earth to do battle for our rights, for our honor, to redeem us, to restore the authority that God had originally given to us. That's Jesus. I love the fact that, you know, a champion to me, and the reason that Jesus is our champion is because he came to the earth to fight on our behalf. And the Bible says in Matthew 28, in verse number 18, Jesus came close to them and he said, this is after Jesus rose from the dead. He appeared to the disciples. He said, all the authority of the universe has been given to me. All the authority in the universe has been given to me. Now go in my authority and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, go in my authority. Jesus came to the earth to do battle for you and for me and to give us back authority. You see, God created you to live with authority. When God created the world, the Bible says everything he made was good, and there was no death. There was no sickness, there was no lack, there was no violence, there was no fear, there was nothing destructive. God put man in the Garden of Eden, paradise. Adam and Eve were created in God's image. They had God's life. The Bible says that Adam named all the animals. He had the wisdom of God. You know how many animals there are? You know how many different kinds of frogs there are? Adam named all these animals. God gave them authority to rule over everything on the earth. The Bible says in Genesis 1 verse 26, God said, let us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, make mankind in our image after our likeness, and let them have complete authority over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the beasts, over all the earth and over everything that creeps on the earth. God gave Adam and Eve, man, authority over everything on the earth. But when they disobeyed God and they sinned by eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that sin brought death. And they died spiritually. God's life left them. They were separated from God. And that sin was passed down and has infected everybody, every man, every woman, every boy, every girl. The Bible says in Romans 5, verse 12, when Adam sinned, sin entered the world. Adam's sin brought death. So death spread to everyone, for everyone sinned. The scripture says in Romans 3, verse 23, everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. Sin separates us from God. In Isaiah 59, it says, your sins separate you from your God. He turns away from you when he sees them. Sin brings a separation between us and God. In Ephesians 2, verse 1, it says, in the past, you were spiritually dead because of your sins and the things that you did against God. We used to be dead spiritually. You might have been breathing physically, but until you know Jesus, you're spiritually dead. We were separated from him. But thank God, that's why Jesus said you must be born again. Because when you receive Jesus into your heart, you are cleansed of sin. You are made a brand new creation and you are born again and you are brought back into life and back into fellowship with God. Now, when Adam and Eve disobeyed God and when they sinned, they committed high treason against God and they gave the authority that God had given to them to Satan, the devil, our enemy. That's why the Bible calls the devil. In 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4, the Bible says, Satan, who is the god of this world. Now, notice that G is with a little g. Satan's not the creator of the world. He's not the owner of the world. But he is right now influencing and controlling things on the earth. The Bible says he's blinded the minds of those who don't believe. He's the god of this world. That explains why the world is in a mess that it's in. Because Satan is responsible. He's dominating, controlling, manipulating the world and the people that are in it. The scripture says in 1 John 5, verse 19, we know that we are children of God and that the world around us is under the control of the evil one. Have you noticed that the world around you is, there's a lot of evilness going on? Huh? Well, why is that? Because Satan is controlling the things on the world. That's not God, that's the enemy. Who is this evil one called Satan? Well, he used to be called Lucifer. He was an angel that was created by God. You can read about him in Isaiah chapter 14 and Ezekiel chapter 28. I'm not going to read those scriptures today, but you can go home and read them. And it tells you about Lucifer, who was created as an archangel of God, and he was created. He was very beautiful. The Bible says he was very beautiful, but he became proud and he rebelled against God. He tried to take God's place. The Bible says there was a war in heaven. In Revelation 12, verse 7, it says, war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail, nor was there a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out. The serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world, was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. A third of the angels followed Satan, Lucifer, and rebelled against God. Jesus said in Luke 10, verse 18, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Satan was cast out of heaven, or Lucifer was cast out of heaven and became Satan, became the devil. And Lucifer hates God. Satan hates God, but he can't hurt God, so he tries to hurt God's children, God's creation. Jesus said in John 10, verse 10, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Jesus said that the thief, the devil, that's what he's talking about, came to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what he's all about. But Jesus said, I came to bring you life and life more abundant. Amen. The devil's a thief. And he's come to the earth to steal, kill, and destroy. So whenever you see destruction, whenever you see people being stolen from, whenever you see death, you can know that's the work of the devil. It's not the work of God. You know who's behind it. Satan came as a serpent to tempt Adam and Eve. He wanted them to disobey God. He wanted them to sin so that he could bring destruction. Jesus came to bring us abundant life. Jesus came to save us, to deliver us, to give us back the authority that Satan had taken from Adam and Eve. God had a plan of salvation ready. Do you know that God had a plan to save us before he even created the world? In Ephesians 1 verse 5, it says, his unchanging plan has always been to adopt us into his own family by sending Jesus Christ to die for us. And he did this because he wanted to. Do you know that God had a plan to send Jesus before he even created the earth? He knew it was going to happen. In fact, God revealed his plan right back at the beginning in Genesis chapter 3. God said to the devil, the Lord said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed more than all the cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. How many of you know that women don't have seed? This is not a trick question. Women don't have seed. Women provide the egg. And the male provides the seed. So why did God say her seed? Women don't have seed. Her seed shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. The Living Bible says her seed's going to crush your head. You see, this is prophesying that God is going to send a Savior. And this Savior is not going to come from a human seed. He's prophesying that Jesus would come to the earth, God in the flesh, without the seed of a man, born through a virgin birth. That's exactly what happened. Why did God have to come to the earth himself? Because every human being is born with sin, and only God himself, who is without sin, could come to the earth to redeem us and save us. No human could do it. Only God could do it. John 3 verse 16, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus, the Son of God, our champion, our creator, he left heaven and came to the earth to come and fight for us. The Bible says in John 1 verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made. In the beginning was the Word of God. Nothing was made without him. And verse 14 says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. This is telling us that Jesus has always been in existence. He was with the Father. He was with the Father and the Holy Spirit when they created the earth. Nothing was made without him, and then he became flesh. He came to the earth. Why? To redeem us. Jesus was God in human flesh. This is what separates Christianity from all the other religions of the world. Because Jesus was not just a good man, he was God in human flesh. God himself came to the earth to redeem us. Jesus, the second person of the Godhead, left heaven and came to the earth to become a man, to give himself as a sacrifice for our sin. See, Jesus was without sin. He never ever sinned. He was perfect. He demonstrated, when Jesus came to the earth, he demonstrated authority over the enemy, over the devil. When Jesus would walk down the street, demons would cry out when they saw him. They'd say, have you come to torment us? And Jesus would just say, come out of him. And they'd just come out of him. Amen. Person would be free. Everywhere Jesus went, he'd heal people. This got people's attention. The Bible says in Luke chapter 4, verse 23, it says, his teachings stunned and dazed them, for he spoke with penetrating words that manifested great authority. In the congregation, there was a demonized man who screamed out with a loud voice, hey, you go away and leave us alone. I know who you are. You're Jesus of Nazareth. You're God's Holy One. Why are you coming to meddle with us? You've come to destroy us already. You see, Satan knows his time's coming. Just then, the demon hurled the man down on the floor in front of them all. But Jesus rebuked the demon, be quiet and come out of him. And the demon came out of him without causing any harm. Great astonishment swept over the people. They said among themselves, what kind of man is this? Who has such power and such authority, with a mere word he commands demons to come out and they obey him. The reports about Jesus spread like wildfire throughout every community in the surrounding regions. And after leaving the meeting that day, Jesus went into Simon's house, where Simon's mother-in-law was sick with a high fever, and the disciples begged Jesus to help her. Jesus stood over her. He rebuked the fever, and she was healed instantly. Then she got up and began to serve them. At sunset, the people brought all those who were sick to Jesus to be healed. Jesus laid his hands on them one by one, and they were all healed of different ailments and sicknesses. Demons came out of many of them. The demons knew that Jesus was the anointed one, so they shouted while coming out, "You are the Messiah, the son of El Shaddai." But Jesus rebuked them and commanded them to be silent. Who wants the devil advertising for you? Jesus even exercised authority over nature. When he and his disciples were in a boat crossing the Sea of Galilee, suddenly a fierce storm arose. The waves were crashing in the boat. The boat was filling with water. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat. The disciples woke him up. They were panicking. They said, "Master, we're going to drown. Don't you care? We're going to die." The Bible says in Luke 8, verse 24, with great authority, Jesus rebuked the howling wind and the surging waves, and instantly they stopped and became as smooth as glass. Jesus said to them, "Why are you fearful? Have you lost your faith in me?" Shocked and shaken, they said with amazement to one another, "Who is this man who has authority over the wind and the waves that they obey him?" Why did Jesus ask them, "Why are you fearful?" Why did Jesus say to them, "What did you wake me up for? Why are you afraid?" Because Jesus already told them to go over to the other side. And he'd given them authority over demons. So they could have stopped that storm. They had the authority to do it. The Bible says in Matthew 10, verse 1, Jesus called these 12 disciples together and he gave them authority to cast out evil spirits and to heal every kind of disease and every kind of illness. They were operating under Jesus' authority. But you see, when the time came, Jesus laid down his life. He goes to the cross to be our substitute, to pay for our sin, to redeem us, and to get back the authority that Adam had given over to the enemy. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 8, none of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Let me tell you, if the devil knew what was going on, he would have never had Jesus crucified. He didn't know what was going to happen. He thought he destroyed him. He didn't realize he was just fulfilling God's plan. The Bible says in John 10, verse 18, Jesus said, no one can take my life from me. I sacrifice it voluntarily, for I have the authority to lay it down when I want to, and I also can take it up again, for this is what my Father has commanded. This is God's destiny, the Father's destiny for my life. Jesus sacrificed his life for you and me. He took our sin, he took our judgment, he took our punishment, and he went to hell in our place. Jesus himself said in Matthew 12, verse 40. He said, as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. What's in the heart of the earth? Hell is in the heart of the earth. Peter preached about it in Acts chapter 2. Peter said, you will not leave my soul in hell or let the body of your Holy Son decay. You will give me back my life and give me wonderful joy in your presence. Dear brothers, think David wasn't talking about himself when he spoke these words I've quoted, for he died and was buried and his tomb is still here among you. He was a prophet and he knew God had promised with an unbreakable oath that one of David's own descendants would be the Messiah and would sit on David's throne. David was looking far into the future and predicting that the Messiah's resurrection and saying that the Messiah's soul would not be left in hell and his body would not decay. David was talking about Jesus, that Jesus would be in hell, but that he wouldn't remain in hell, that he would conquer it and he would rise again. You see, Jesus suffered in hell in our place. Some people, they can't wrap their mind around the fact that Jesus went to hell. But listen, if Jesus didn't go to hell, then you'd have to go to hell. He went there so you don't have to. Now, you can if you want to. There's a whole lot of people going to hell. In fact, the majority of the people on this earth are going to hell. How do I know that? Jesus said, wide is the way. Wide is the gate. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many are on it. Narrow is the path. Straight is the way that leads to eternal life. Only a few find it. Aren't you glad you found it? Jesus went into hell in our place because he was paying the price for our sin, for the sin of all humanity. But death couldn't hold him because after 3 days, the Father said, it is enough. The power of the Holy Spirit descended through the portals of hell and Jesus was raised to life. Jesus was born again. He was the firstborn from the dead. the first to be born again, to come from spiritual death into spiritual life. And then Jesus went over, put his foot on the devil's head, took the keys of death, hell, and the grave, said, I told you I'd crush your head. I come to redeem my people. You are forever defeated. The Bible says in Revelation 1 verse 18, I am he who lives and I was dead and I am alive forevermore and I have the keys of hell and of death. Jesus took those keys away, man. He took keys represent authority. He took that authority away. He triumphed. The Bible says Jesus triumphed over the devil on our behalf. In Colossians 2 verse 15, having disarmed the principalities and the powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Now, what is this talking about? This is talking about when Jesus conquered the devil, when Jesus defeated the enemy. The term triumphed over, it refers to when a Roman general would conquer an enemy. He would triumph over his enemy. The enemy would be stripped naked with his army, and they'd march them in chains through the streets of Rome behind the Roman army, and all the citizens would come out in the streets and they would cheer as the Roman army came through and their enemy came behind them stripped and naked and in chains. They'd be humiliated, they'd be insulted, they'd cut off the thumb and the big toe of the commander, the general of the enemy army. That was to assure all the citizens of Rome that this enemy had been defeated and he'd never be a threat to them again. He couldn't even hold a sword. He'd never be able to run again. There was no need to fear him anymore. Any rumor of him ever challenging Rome would be scoffed at because all the citizens saw the parade. They saw him being triumphed over. Let me tell you, the same thing happened to the devil. Jesus triumphed over the devil. That's what this verse is talking about. That's what Jesus did to our enemy. He went into hell because of our sin. He took our place. He took our punishment. But Colossians 2 verse 15 said Jesus triumphed over the enemy. In fact, the Message Bible says he stripped all the spiritual tyrants in the universe of their sham authority at the cross, and he marched them naked through the streets of hell. The Passion Bible says Jesus made a public spectacle of all the powers and principalities of darkness, stripping from them every weapon and all their spiritual authority and power to accuse us. And by the power of the cross, Jesus led them as prisoners in a procession of triumph. He was not their prisoner. They were his prisoner. Let me tell you, Jesus triumphed over the enemy. He stripped the devil of all authority. He led the devil and demons in a triumphant procession through the portals of hell with all the saints of God watching and cheering on. The Bible says in 1 Peter 3 verse 18, Christ suffered for our sins once for all time. He never sinned, but he died for sinners to bring you safely home to God. He suffered physical death, but he was raised to life in the spirit, and he went and preached to the spirits in prison. Jesus told them, I'm here to deliver you. I'm the seed of woman in Genesis chapter 3. I'm the one who made the covenant with Abraham. I'm the one who spoke to Moses out of the burning bush. I'm the one who parted the Red Sea. I am your Savior. I am your Messiah. I am your deliverer. I am your champion. Amen. Aren't you glad about that? I get excited about this. If you can't get excited about this, I'm telling you, I don't get excited about a football game. I don't get excited about a baseball game. I don't get excited about a basketball game. But I get excited when I think about what Jesus did when he triumphed over the enemy for me. I get excited about that. Jesus not only beat the devil, he had a triumphant procession to display the devil as a totally conquered foe. Satan never has to terrify us. Unfortunately, a lot of Christians seem like they missed the victory parade. They haven't seen God's triumphant procession that was pictured in the Word of God, where Satan was displayed as a totally defeated foe. Because there's some rumors circulating that Satan is powerful and that he's to be feared and reckoned with. That's not so. Satan is alive and Satan does have power, but we do have an enemy and we do have to deal with him, but he has no authority to use his power against us. We've been delivered from the kingdom of darkness. We got authority over him and God's power backs us up. After Jesus rose from the dead, he appears to the disciples. He says, all the authority of the universe is given to me. Now go in my authority. Say this, Jesus has given me his authority. Say, as a son and daughter of God, I'm a champion too. I have the champion's authority. Jesus has given it to me. That's what we sang in the song. Psalm 29 verse 1 says, proclaim his majesty, all you mighty champions, you sons of almighty God, giving him all the glory and strength. The Bible says you, as a child of God, you are now a champion too. Let me tell you something, you will never be able to live in victory in your life or live the abundant life that Jesus came to bring you until you know your authority, until you use the authority that God has given you. There's a lot of believers today, they're not using their authority. It's that we allow things that we have authority over. We allow things in our life that God has given us authority over. Many Christians don't know they have authority. They leave everything up to God. They think it's up to God. Well, if God wants to bless me, he will. If God wants to heal me, he will. If God wants to deliver me, he will. Not my will, your be done. Listen, God wants you to understand the authority that he has given to you. To rule over the circumstances and over demons that try and harass you. Paul, the apostle, prayed that the church would understand the authority and power that has been given to us through Christ. Paul prayed in Ephesians 1 verse 17, I keep asking. He said, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, all power and dominion, and every title, every name that can be named, and not only in this present age, but in the one that is to come. It says God placed all things under his feet, and God appointed him to be the head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Let me tell you, if you look at that prayer, you can see that God wants us to have a revelation of the authority and the power that God has given us through Christ. You know, Jill and I graduated from Rhema Bible School in 1982. It was founded by Kenneth E. Hagin. And Kenneth E. Hagin, his book, his teaching on the authority of the believer, changed my life forever. Kenneth Hagin said he took this prayer of Paul and he began to pray it over himself. Do you know that there are prayers in the Bible that you should be praying over yourself? In other words, Lord, I pray that you give me a spirit of wisdom and revelation that I may understand the hope of your calling and the incomparable great power for me who believes. He began to pray these prayers. And he said as he prayed these prayers, he started to get spiritual understanding of the Word of God, begin to flood his life. He began to understand the authority that we have. No one ever told him that. Ephesians chapter 1 tells us when Jesus rose from the dead, he was seated. He was seated above all authority and every name and all things put under his feet. And he's the head of the church, his body. God placed all things under his feet. Now, where are your feet? How many of you know your feet are on your body? How many of you know that we are the body of Christ? So if God placed all things under Jesus' feet and we are part of the body, that means all things under our feet because we're the body of Christ. Which means you got authority. But you have to use your authority. See, whether you realize it or not, a lot of people don't realize that there are hostile demonic forces all around us trying to destroy and frustrate us at every opportunity. The Bible says in Ephesians 6 verse 12, we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against evil rulers and authorities in the unseen realm, in the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, against evil spirits in heavenly places. We're not fighting against flesh and blood. Listen, your real enemy is not flesh and blood. It's demonic spirits that are trying to harass you, that are trying to block you, that are trying to hinder you. You got to realize a lot of the problems you face in your life are caused by the enemy. Now, I'm not saying every problem. Some problems we bring on ourselves. But many times the enemies behind these things that happen to us, if someone is harassing you, You got to realize they're under the influence of demons. A lot of Christians don't even realize that they have an enemy. They don't realize they're surrounded by hostile demonic forces whose sole purpose is to destroy and frustrate and hinder and harass you. They're trying to stop you from experiencing the abundant life and joy and peace and health and prosperity that Jesus came that we would have. The devil doesn't want you to know your authority. He wants to maintain control over believers. He wants us to be ignorant of our authority so he can keep Christians defeated. The Bible says in Hosea 4 verse 6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. What's always sad to me is there are people that should be, people in our church that should be sitting here right now that need to hear what I'm telling you. But they're not here, and what they don't know is destroying them. Lack of knowledge. Many of God's people are being destroyed because they don't know the authority they have. That Jesus came to give us back authority. That authority belongs to us. Whether we realize it or not, a lot of Christians, they don't know this. They think it's all up to God. They think it's all up to God, whether they're blessed, whether they're victorious, whether they're healed. Most believers don't take authority because they don't know about it. God's people are suffering at the hand of the enemy because they don't realize, first of all, that many of their problems are caused by evil spirits who come in against them through circumstances and through people. We've got to use the authority God has given us. We must take authority over demons that come and try and attack us. We must stand up and speak to the mountain or it won't be removed. Let me tell you, it's time you've got to tell the devil where to go. What is authority? Authority means the power or the right to enforce obedience. It means authority is the right to command. It is delegated power. Authority is delegated power. Now, a good example of authority is a policeman who steps out in front of the traffic and raises his hand and the cars stop. Why? He doesn't have the physical strength, or she doesn't have the physical strength to stop the cars or the traffic. The traffic stops because of his authority. Because people know he represents the government. There's a lot of power behind this man. Authority is delegated power. In other words, authority is only as good as the amount of power supporting it. What kind of authority do we have? The Bible, Jesus said in Luke 10 verse 19, now you understand, I have imparted to you my authority to trample over his kingdom. You will trample upon every demon before you and overcome every power Satan possesses. Absolutely nothing will be able to harm you as you walk in this authority. The reason why some Christians are being harmed, they're not walking in their authority. Ephesians 6 verse 10 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. There's a lot of authority and power behind you. There's a lot of power and authority behind that policeman, but there's a lot more power and authority behind you. Because you know who's backing you up? No, not the U.S. government. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, the Creator of the universe, the angels of God, they're all backing you up. They're all standing. You come against me, you better know I've got the Father behind me, I've got the Son, I've got the Holy Spirit, and the angels of God are backing me up. That's the greatest authority in the whole universe. We've got no reason to be afraid of the enemy or the problems that he tries to cause. We can step out in front of the devil, put a hand up, and command him, you stop in the name of Jesus. He's got to listen to you. He doesn't stop because of who you are, but because of who you represent. You speak on behalf of Jesus. Say, I speak on behalf of Jesus. Jesus said in John 14, verse 12, I tell you this timeless truth, the person who follows me in faith, believing in me, will do the same mighty miracles that I do, even greater miracles than these, because I go to be with my Father. For I will do whatever you ask me to do when you ask it in my name. And this is how the Son will show what the Father is really like and bring glory to him. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it for you. Now that word ask can actually be translated as require, call for, claim, or demand. Now, we're not demanding from God. We're not praying to God. This is talking about doing the works Jesus did. You know, when Jesus prayed for people for healing, he didn't say, Lord, Father, I ask you to heal them. He said, be healed in the name of Jesus. Jesus was manifest to destroy the works of the devil. And he said, he'll do the same things through us when we demand it in his name. We are demanding Satan to obey. We are demanding the will of God to be carried out. We are demanding the word of God to be enforced on the behalf of Jesus. We are demanding circumstances to line up with the word of God. When you pray for someone who needs healing, on the behalf of Jesus, when I pray for someone for healing, I demand sickness go in Jesus' name. I speak on behalf of Jesus. I take authority in his place, bringing things in order with the will and the word of God. You demand circumstances and demons to obey the word of God and the will of God. When you get bold and you begin to demand, instead of Mickey Mousing around with the devil, then let me tell you, he'll pay attention to you. Peter did this in Acts chapter 3. One day Peter and John were on their way to church to go pray. And there was a lame man, a paralyzed man. He was sitting outside at the gate, beautiful. He was asking Peter and John for some money. And Peter and John said, I don't have money, but I'll give you what I do have. In the name of Jesus, stand up and walk. And Peter grabbed him by the hand, pulled him to his feet. The power of God hit him, and he jumped up, and he went with him in the temple, walking, leaping, and praising God. That's using authority. Speaking on behalf of Jesus, addressing the circumstances, doing the works of Jesus. When you find a circumstance, you ask yourself, what is the will of God? What would Jesus do in this circumstance? Then you speak like Jesus would. If there's a storm in life, you demand it to cease. We must use our authority and speak to it. That's what Jesus expected of the disciples. All around us, there are people that are suffering as a result, maybe with sickness or addictions or depression or lack of finance, fear, unemployment, all kinds of different things. People don't realize that this is the work of the enemy. And they lie down and they just accept it, let him take control. You got to remember, you're not fighting flesh and blood. Say, my struggle is not against people. Say, my problems aren't caused by people. Let me tell you, your problem really isn't your boss, your employer, your staff, your clients, the government. Your problem really is the enemy, the devil. We're not fighting flesh and blood, but a lot of people don't realize it, that you have to take authority over the enemy, and if you don't, it won't be done. God won't exercise authority on the earth except through the body of Christ. And if we don't do anything, then nothing will be done. In Kenneth Hagin's book, The Believer's Authority, which we studied when we were in Bible school, he talks about a vision that he had when Jesus appeared to him and Jesus began to teach him. Now, the Lord appeared to Kenneth Hagin more than 10 times. I mean, like I'm talking to you now. And the Lord was talking to him, and suddenly at the end of the vision, an evil spirit that looked like a little monkey or like a little elf. You know, there's different kinds of demons. Some demons are small, some demons are huge. This little demon, like a little monkey, ran between him and Jesus in the vision and spread something like this dark cloud, like a smoke screen. And then he started jumping up and down and shouting, yakety-yak, 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 yakety-yak. This little demon. Kenneth Hagin couldn't see Jesus. He couldn't hear what Jesus was saying. He couldn't understand why Jesus didn't do something about it. Finally, Kenneth Hagin cried out. He said, in the name of Jesus, you foul spirit, I command you to stop. Instantly, that little demon hit the floor. The black cloud disappeared. The little demon lay there trembling and whimpering. Wouldn't even look at him. Kenneth Hagin said, shut up and get out of here in the name of Jesus. And that little demon ran out the door. And Kenneth Hagin thought to himself, why didn't Jesus do something about that demon? Why did he permit that? The Lord knew what he was thinking. And the Lord spoke out in the vision. And the Lord said to Kenneth Hagin, if you hadn't done something about that, I couldn't have. Kenneth Hagin was astounded. He said, Lord, I don't think I heard you right. You said you wouldn't have done anything if I didn't, right? He said, no. If you hadn't done something about it, I couldn't have. Kenneth Hagin again, Lord, I must have misheard you. You didn't say I couldn't have. You said I wouldn't have. This happened four times. He kept four times. Couldn't figure it out. But Jesus was emphatic. No, I didn't say I would not. I said I could not. Finally, Kenneth Hagin said, Lord, I just can't accept that. I never heard anything like that in my life. I need you to prove that to me by at least three scriptures in the Bible. Jesus just smiled. I said, I'll give you four. Kenneth Hagin said, Lord, I read the New Testament 150 times. If that scripture's in there, I don't know it. The Lord just replied, son, there's a lot in there you don't know. He read it, the Bible 150 times. Jesus said to Kenneth Hagin, there's not one single time in the New Testament where it says to pray that God would do anything against the devil. In fact, to do so is a waste of time. The believer is told to do something about the devil. And the reason is because you have authority to do it. The church is to use the authority that belongs to it. The least member of the body of Christ has just as much power and authority over the devil as anybody else. And unless believers do something about the devil, nothing will be done. Jesus said, I've done all I want to do about the devil until the angel comes and from heaven and takes the chain and binds him and throws him into the bottomless pit, which the Bible says is going to happen. So these are the four scriptures that Kenneth Hagin gave to that the Lord gave to Kenneth Hagin. And I want to just quickly share. I'm going to close with this. The first one we already looked at is Matthew 28, verse 18. When Jesus rose from the dead, he said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. All the authority in the universe has been given to me. Now go in my authority. Go in my authority. See, after Jesus rose from the dead, he immediately delegated to his body, the church, that authority. And Jesus works through the church. Just like your head cannot exercise authority except through your body, Jesus exercised authority on this earth through his body. Say, I'm the body of Christ. Say, I speak for Jesus. The second scripture that the Lord gave to Kenneth Hagin was in Mark 16 in verse 17. It says, these miracle signs will accompany those who believe. They will drive out demons in the power of my name. They will speak in tongues. They will lay hands on the sick and they will heal them. Jesus said, they will drive out demons by the power of my name. So we can't be waiting for God to drive out the demon. Jesus said, we got authority to do it. Not just drive demons out of other people, drive them out of your own life. The first sign that is mentioned that will follow believers is by they will drive out demons by the power of Jesus' name. You have authority to drive the devil out. You have authority to lay hands on sick people and they will be healed. The third scripture that the Lord gave to Kenneth Hagin is James 4 verse 7. It says, so then surrender to God, stand up to the devil and resist him and he'll turn and run away from you. But you've got to be the one who stands up to him. You have authority over the devil. Otherwise, the Bible wouldn't tell us to do something about him. That authority is yours. Whether you feel like you got it or not, authority has got nothing to do with how you feel, but you have to use it. The fourth scripture that the Lord gave to Kenneth Hagin is in 1 Peter 5, verse 8. It says, be well balanced and always alert because your enemy, the devil, roams around incessantly like a roaring lion looking for its prey to devour. Take a decisive stand against him and resist his every attack with strong, vigorous faith. For you know that your believing brothers and sisters around the world are experiencing the same kinds of troubles that you endure. But you got to resist him. You got to demand the devil to stop. If you resist him, he can't devour you. How do you resist the devil? By speaking out in the name of Jesus. Satan, devil, I resist you in the name of Jesus. You get out of my house. I resist sickness in the name of Jesus. You don't walk around saying, well, I'm afraid I'm going to get coronavirus. You say, I resist the coronavirus. You will not come near my house in the name of Jesus. That's using authority. Not only that, God's word is our sword against the enemy. Jesus used the word of God to overcome the enemy. When the enemy came and attacked and tempted Jesus in Matthew chapter 4, every time the enemy spoke against Jesus, what did he say? It is written. It is written, you shall worship the Lord. It is written, you shall not live. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Jesus used the word of God to overcome the enemy. We saw in Ephesians chapter 6 that we have an enemy that we wrestle against, demonic spirits. And it tells us, put on the armor of God and stand victorious against the enemy's attacks. And part of our armor is God's word. Ephesians 6 verse 16, in every battle, take faith as your wraparound shield, for it is able to extinguish the blazing arrows coming at you from the evil one. And take the mighty razor-sharp sword of the spoken word of God. Say the word of God. Say the spoken word of God is my mighty sword. Faith is my shield. See, we got an enemy, but we got authority over him, and we've been given mighty weapons to use against him. We got authority to use God's power to do the same things he did on the earth. We have a right to use the name of Jesus against the enemy, use the word of God, speak out the word of God against the enemy. Let me tell you, anything that would try and destroy or harm or steal from you is from the devil. Don't lie down. Don't accept it. Rise up and boldly exercise authority against it. Jesus said in Matthew 18:18, assuredly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Say, whatever I bind on earth is bound in heaven. Say, whatever I loose is loosed. In fact, the New Living Translation says, whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven, and whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven. You see, whatever you permit, God permits. Whatever you permit, God permits. You got authority. You want to permit sickness in your home? God will let you be sick if you want to. God will let you be broke if you want to. You got authority to do something about it. In Matthew 11, verse 12, Jesus said, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. Let me tell you, you got to get aggressive when it comes to dealing with the devil. Many Christians being devoured by the devil. They don't realize that that attack is coming from the enemy. They don't know how to resist him with their God-given authority. They say, I don't know, Pastor Steve, why God let this happen. I don't understand why God let it happen. Because God will permit whatever you permit. Stop waiting for God to change the circumstance, because God's waiting for you to use the authority that he won for you. And the way you take authority is with your words. You got to speak to the problem, speak to the attack, speak to the sickness, speak to the lack, speak to the fear. Like one time when I was in the army, you know I'm a special forces, lethal. You know that, right? I was in the army for a few months in South Africa, and Jill was at home with the two little kids. I was 25, and it was mandatory. I didn't sign up, but you had to go. And so I'm away. She's in the house alone. It's a new house. And we had all new construction in our neighborhood. Anyway, she comes home one day, and there's muddy footprints down the hallway. Someone was in the house. And she was alone. And she suddenly, that night, she had great fear. Just this fear. And you know what she did? She said, fear, I resist you in the name of Jesus. And just like that, the fear went. And the peace of God came all over her. Pastor Theo, my pastor, talks about when he used to be a realtor, and often people would sign a deal to buy a house, but they had 24 hours to cancel, and often they would phone up and cancel, but he would ask them, listen, please go take a look at the house again, just think about it one more time, and then he'd hang up the phone and he'd take authority over the devil, and he'd bind the enemy from stealing his sale, and he said 90% of the time they'd go ahead with the sale. He said, devil, you're not going to steal my sale. I'm a tithe in the name of Jesus. No, you take your hands off this deal. And 90% of the time, they buy the house. We've got to take authority over situations in our life that are irritating us. You've got to write down things you want to stop, things you want to change, and take authority over sickness. Take authority over lack. Take authority over fear. Amen? Speak to the mountain. Instead of speaking about the mountain, speak to the mountain. Use the authority God has given you over demons that are influencing people against you. I don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Someone comes against me, I'm not going to deal with you. I'm going to deal with the enemy that's using you. I'm going to bind the enemy from attacking me. I don't want to argue. I'm not going to argue with friends and family or unsaved people. No, I'm not going to. I use my authority to blind demons that are blinding them. I take authority over any attack of the enemy. You've got to take authority over demon spirits that are trying to destroy the United States of America. People don't realize this. This is a war of darkness and light. This is a darkness and light right now. We got to take authority over sickness. Take authority over the coronavirus. We take authority over the coronavirus right now. In the name of Jesus, we command you to go. We command you to cease. We command you to, we curse you. We command this virus to cease in the name of Jesus. We speak healing to America. We thank you for healing, Lord, that your healing power is flooding this nation and around the world. In Jesus' name, we resist this coronavirus. Let me tell you, the devil can't take any place in your life unless you give it to him, unless you permit him to. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27 says, don't give place to the devil. Don't give any place to the devil. The Amplified Bible says, leave no room or no foothold for the devil. Give him no opportunity. Do you know that the only way the devil can take place in your life is if you allow it to, if you give it to him? And one way we permit the devil to have a place in our life is with our words, with the things we say. If you say, I'm so afraid I'm going to get this virus, Pastor Steve. I'm so afraid I'm going to get this. You just gave the devil the right to put it on you. Now, you might have that thought, but don't speak it out. Say, no. The Lord is my healer. The Lord is my protector. The Lord, sickness cannot come near my house. Oh, Pastor Steve, I'm so afraid I'm going to get cancer. My mom got cancer. My grandma got cancer. Oh, I'm so afraid. You just gave the devil room to put cancer on you. If you say, Pastor Steve, they're laying off people at work. I'll bet I'll be laid off. I never get any good breaks. I bet I'll be one of the first. You just gave the room for the enemy to steal your job. People don't realize they give room to the devil with their words. You got to use your authority. Rather say things like this. In the name of Jesus, I've been given authority. Say it with me. Say, I'm the body of Christ. Say, I'm seated with Christ. Say, all things under my feet. I have authority over the devil, demons. Jesus said, if I speak to the mountain, it will be removed. If I resist the devil, he will flee. Whatever I bind will be bound. So I speak to every demon and I bind your efforts against me. You will not hurt me. You will not steal from me. You will not harass me. I declare I'm victorious. I am healthy. I am free. I am prospering. I take authority of every demon attacking my finances. I command you, loose my finances. I release finances in my life. I take authority over sickness. I resist sickness in the name of Jesus. I do not allow you in my body. Thank you, Lord. I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. I take authority over every attack against my marriage, against my family, against my children. I bind every demonic attack against me in Jesus' name. Amen, somebody. Come on, give God praise. Come on, give God some praise. Give God some praise today. Listen, we've got a few more minutes. We want to receive the offering, but come on, Pastor Jill, I want you to come up because we're going to get ready. We're going to sing, man. We're going to close out with that song today. You are my champion. We're going to close out with it. Did you get something out of this today? Did you get something out of this today?
Man, so good. I tell you what, you need to listen to that again this week. You know, look at those scriptures and get it right, because there's no battle. Every battle we've ever faced, I'm telling you, we face it by speaking head on the word of God with authority. And that's when God does something and does miracles. Amen. Praise God. A time in our service where we have the opportunity to give into the kingdom of God. And those that are watching online, it's really simple. You just give online. You can give on our website, ascendchurch.us, and you just push give online. It's really simple. But I want to talk to you just for a brief moment and tell you that we need a tithe
with expectancy. The Bible says in Malachi 3 verse 10, it says, I am the Lord all-powerful, and I challenge you to put me to the test. Bring the entire 10%, say 10%, that explains tithe. Tithe is an old-fashioned word for 10%, into the storehouse so that there will be food in my house. Then I will open the windows of heaven, and I will flood you with blessing after blessing. That sounds like a promise to me. That's God speaking, and he says, listen, I'm the Lord your God, and I'm telling you, do this, and I will do that. So there is a promise attached. We're not trying to twist God's arm and get something from him that he hasn't promised. He just says, listen to my word, I'm promising you this. And so, you know, a friend of ours, a minister that we know, Mike Murdoch, he told the story. He says, you know, his dad was a preacher, and he built six churches, and he was a tither. And he said he kind of tithed because it was almost taught to him in a way, if you don't tithe, God will destroy you. Kind of, you know, like that tithing but with fear. And he said his dad never earned more than $120 a week all his life. He never prospered. He never saw the blessing of God come on him, yet he was a tither. And Mike Murdoch made the statement. He said, tithing does not guarantee prosperity. He says, tithing with faith and expectation is what brings prosperity. So it's like anything in the Word of God. Just because it says it doesn't mean it automatically falls on us like ripe cherries off of a tree. You got to have expectation. You got to say, I'm taking that promise that God has given me. Amen. And so, you know, the Bible says in Hebrews, the children of Israel, when they were faced, they got the promised land. God's going, go, get it. I'm giving it to you. Shows them all these miracles. Here it is. Take it. And it says, but the word which they heard did not profit them because they didn't mix faith in those who heard it. So I'm encouraging you today. We've got faithful tithers and faithful givers, but I'm encouraging you, mix your faith. Believe God for that they heard, the children of Israel heard that God was going to bless them and take them into a prosperous land, but they didn't believe him. They didn't mix their faith, and it limited them. Now, there's a couple of things that limit us. Number one, if we look at the economy, if you look at the economy and you say, well, look what's going on in the world. I can't expect to be prosperous right now. I look at the financial market. The economy's so bad. COVID-19, everything's bad right now. Why should I expect anything different? Or you could say everybody's having a hard time. And you talk yourself right out of faith and out of God's promises. Amen. Or you could look at your family and you could say, my parents never prospered. So what makes me different? It's hard to break that ceiling sometimes. But we've got to look at the Word of God and take it for what it says. Amen. We've got to be people of faith and expectancy. So today, as you give and as you tithe, I encourage you, take hold of the Word of God, the promises of God, and say, that's for me. I claim that over my life. Say, I believe the windows of heaven are open above me, and God is flooding me. Say, God is flooding me with blessing after blessing. Amen. Let's make this confession. We used to do this every week, but I want us to say it. Say, because I support God's kingdom.
Because I support God's kingdom.
By tithing and giving.
By tithing and giving.
God has pleasure.
God has pleasure.
In my prosperity.
In my prosperity.
Therefore, I am believing God.
I am believing God
for jobs and better
for
jobs.
For jobs and better jobs.
For raises and
for
bonuses.
For raises and bonuses.
For benefits.
For benefits.
For sales and commissions.
For sales and commissions.
For favorable settlements.
Favorable settlements.
Estates and inheritance.
Estates and inheritance.
Blessings and increase.
Blessings and increase.
Rebates and returns.
Rebates and returns.
Checks in the mail.
Checks in the mail.
Gifts and surprises.
Gifts and surprises.
Finding money.
Finding money.
Bills paid off.
Bills paid off.
Interest and income.
Interest and income.
Creative ideas. Houses and lands.
Houses and lands.
Say thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
For meeting all my financial needs.
For meeting all my financial needs.
That I have more than enough. To give into the kingdom of God.
To give into the kingdom of God.
And promote the gospel.
And promote the gospel.
Of Jesus Christ.
Of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen, 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 amen.
That's mixing some faith.
We want to thank everyone who's been giving online.
So good.
We so appreciate your faithfulness. Are you ready to give today?
Go ahead.
I'm going to ask the ushers to go ahead and pass the offering baskets right now. Open up my mouth.
Heaven's voice starts reaching out.
We want
the next verse.
When I open up my mouth, miracles start breaking out. I have the authority. Jesus has given me. When I open up my mouth, miracles start breaking out. Jesus has given me. When I open up my mouth, miracles are breaking out. I have the authority. Jesus has given me.
Has given me. When I lift my voice and shout, miracles start breaking out. I have authority. Jesus has given me.
1 second. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad?
Amen.
Jesus is our champion today. I want you to bow your head real quick as we close. As we close the service today, let me tell you, if you don't know the Lord today, you're not sure where you stand with God today, I want to ask you this question. If you were to die today, can you say that you know for sure that you would go to heaven? Because let me tell you, the good news is you can know that for sure. You can walk out of here and you can know that all is right with God. You can know that every mistake you've ever made in your life is forgiven and cleansed. You can know for sure that when you die, heaven is where you're going to spend all eternity. I want to pray for you today. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to come out. But right where you're standing, if you say, Pastor Steve, pray for me. I want to make sure when I die, I want to go to heaven. I want to know that all is right between me and God. I want God's blessing on my life. I want to know the Lord is with me. If that's you, if you want to be included in this prayer that I'm going to pray right now, I want you just to lift your hand. Say, pray for me, Pastor Steve. I'm looking for hands. If your hand is raised, you're included in this prayer. If you're not sure where you'd spend eternity, if you died today, lift your hand up right now and let me lead you in this prayer. Is there anybody? No. All right. Well, listen, everybody. God bless you. We love you. I know you're going to have a great week this week. Walk in the champion's authority. Invite someone to come with you next Sunday. God bless everybody. Have an awesome week. We'll see you next Sunday.
Everyone, you are my champion.
You are my champion. Giants, they fall when you stand undefeated. Every battle you've won, I am who you say I am. You crown me with confidence. I am seated in the heavenly place, undefeated by the power of your name.
I am seated in the heavenly place, undefeated. With the one who has conquered it all. Oh,
oh. Amen. Have a great week, everybody.
heard it all.